Howdy, DC On-Screen fans. How would you like a piece of original artwork from one of us here at DC On-Screen?
All right, we're aware that you've never thought of that before, but here's the deal. We need your help because the internet is a giant monster that requires numbers and regular feeding times. And then these algorithm things that are like our personal demons that we can't defeat alone. Do the right thing. Go over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review or a more honest review if you feel absolutely led to. And then email us at dconscreen@gmail.com. What we're going to need you to do is just write in an address. Tell us who you are. Give us whatever address you want us to send you something at. You know, if you don't want us to know where you live, send it to your neighbors and go steal his mail, whatever.
Yeah.
Just give us that, and then we need you to write Dave or Jason, and then we need you to write the name of a character. We're going to send you a piece of artwork. I can say about it is that one of us is a good artist and one of us is not. If you've actually been listening to every episode, you might know the secret answer to that, to who you should really ask. But, hey, or toss
hell,
a coin.
Man, you know, once you get the picture from us, take a picture of it or scan it or something. Send it back to us and we'll put it on Facebook, just like we do with your DC loot.
Yeah. Send it back with, like, critiques if you want to. We don't give a fuck, you know. Draw over it, you know, pull a Deadpool, right?
Whatever. One of us might cry.
we'll both probably cry. But whatever. Point is, you know, it's come that time. It's the classic call to action. We need to get out there. We need to get a little bit of the review game going. This is our humble offering.
Yeah, humble offering. Very humble. I couldn't say it any better myself, man. That was a good pitch.
Oh, thank you.
All right, with that said, settle in for a new episode of DC On Screen. Welcome in to DC On Screen. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hey.
Howdy.
Howdy. Do you go right into the witty banner about being a dark horse yourself?
Actually, that's the first thing I was going to say.
It was the first line that stood out. Actually, I mean, I don't want to hate on that too hard. It was good. It was a good dig.
I actually wrote, ha, bit of a dark horse yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That was kind of fun.
It was clever.
Arrow.
It was damn clever.
We're getting super spoilery on Arrow 414, Code of Silence. If you have not seen this episode, go watch that and cry with us. Scott Madison, our buddy Scott, writes in, says, assuming Oliver knows who Damien's wife really is and vice versa, why are they bothering with the veiled diplomatic language? Why not take a private moment on stage to cut to the chase? Don't suppose you want to tell me why you're running for mayor if you're just going to destroy the city, et cetera, et cetera. It's a good call, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, her response was just going to be funsies. For funsies. Or, you know, just to fuck with you. Whatever the hell.
Is she just Dark Willow now? She's just Dark Willow. Like, bored now. That's from Buffy, guys. If you don't know that, go watch Buffy. What's wrong with you?
You're right.
Not yet. Listen to the rest of this episode. But
when they stop airing these shows, too, go back. It's a summer project.
Likewise, Scott puts it perfectly on this as well, which is my next bit of commentary. Black Canary, good job watching the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Canary, good job watching the car. Spartan, good job watching the car. Speedy and Green Arrow, horribly obvious job of watching the car by riding motorcycles next to it and over top of your target.
Right.
And I believe he said they totally deserve to fall into that trap, and I agree.
He did.
But you can tell that... I should verify that by looking this up before I say it. But you can tell they got somebody that was better with action between the episode before and now. I mean, the action looked better. But apparently what you get when you get an action guy that can actually, you know, choreograph and film a fight scene is you get weird over-the-top shit, like jumping your motorcycles over stuff.
Right.
He got a little too... got a little Michael Bay on it, but... hey, good with the bad, right?
I like. Yeah. Here's something I actually liked. This is going to be a positive note for Arrow this week.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Dark saying, we didn't really plan on Oliver Queen. Malcolm Merlyn, no one ever does. I actually enjoyed that.
And it's like, true.
Also, Malcolm's just hanging out with Damian Dark now. Just
right.
Just hanging out.
Being handy. Like,
Well, he's like, well, I don't have my ball cupping hand. What else am I going to do?
Well, he's hoping he'll show him that freaking Darth Vader voodoo shit so he can feel like he has hands again. I mean, if you have some like telekinetic powers, you don't need both hands. And does he have long range telekinesis? Did he like,
I believe he does,
strangle that dude over a fucking TV?
He did.
Cause motherfucker. Like every time you think Dark is as scary as it could be and as watchable as he could be, he gets even more watchable and even scarier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the phrase you used the other day was thoroughly watchable. I thought it was wonderful.
He is thoroughly watchable. Especially when you consider that he's a Borg.
Right. Apparently he can like shake the ground of a building several miles away, and I don't know how far away this Tomas dude was, but it looked like another country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does he just have to be like vaguely aware of your presence and have any connection to you whatsoever? And he can, oh man.
Maybe it's like a Nightcrawler thing. Like, you know how Nightcrawler can, like, as long as he can, like, think of a place or envision a place, he can teleport to it. Maybe that's what it is with Damian. As long as he can see you.
So this guy's trouble was he should have gone to an undisclosed location before he started Skyping Big Evil Dude?
Well, or maybe he just shouldn't have Skyped him at all. Maybe he should have just called him.
He should have kept his fucking mouth shut is what he should have done.
I don't know. But I do want to point out that this is the third episode in a row that I've mentioned Star Trek in some capacity. Now I kind of feel like I have to do it on the next episode, too.
Oh, Legends of Tomorrow. You'll be able to work that in there somewhere.
That'd be easy.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that Quentin doesn't like the idea of Laurel and Donna seeing each other or hanging out in any capacity.
That sounds accurate. I mean,
he just looks like he looks like his ulcer just started acting up again.
You know what it reminded me of? Have you ever had a moment where you realize that, like,
yes.
That like two ex-girlfriends of yours have met and are talking? That's what it reminded me of.
If two ex-girlfriends of mine ever got into a room together, they would just wind up thinking the other one was a bitch. They wouldn't even get to talk about me. They wouldn't even get to that point.
That's the best you could hope for, right?
I got a
text from one night saying that she had met the other and they were having a drink, and I briefly remember praying that I am as uninteresting as I think I am and not worthy and not a worthy topic of discussion.
You know, I mean, well, okay. Well, there's like a worst case scenario where that is true, you know. It's like it comes up, but it's just as fleeting as did you try that mocha latte over at Starbucks? Yeah, it's not very good. Yeah.
Right. Now, I felt like it was more like, isn't he like a weird dick? Yeah, he's kind of a weird dick. You want to get another drink? Yeah, let's get another drink. Move on.
Yep.
How about them Cowboys next? Whatever you want to do. whatever girls talk about when they're being...
I'm pretty sure that most of my exes would only have so much to say as like, well, he's really into Batman. Yeah, it's real weird.
Yeah, he is real weird. And then, you know, move on. Anyway,
Oh, what did you think of Felicity saying, oh, I knew we should have had Slade Wilson do the party planning?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, when she sees like the party that her mother's put together with the balloons and everything, she says, oh, I knew we should have had Slade Wilson do the party planning. I don't know what that means.
I missed that entirely, and I have no idea what she was referring to. Like,
I don't either.
I don't remember his event planning capacities from hitting any of his episodes.
I heard it. I rewound it and heard it again.
Still,
I rewound it and heard it again. Still didn't get it. Like, is Felicity just saying she wishes that everything was, I don't know, black and orange?
Right.
Or blue and orange or something?
No, there'd be a lot more, like, knives, swords at her party.
Right, right. I feel like they're just throwing us little bones here and there. Like, they just shoehorned us a bone.
Yeah.
Like, See? We acknowledge he still exists. Well, thanks, dicks. Where's my Manu Bennett?
Now go check out all of the news that's saying how thoroughly he is not going to be involved.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
Which, you know what? Mostly I'm fine with, because I didn't really care. But, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So, this seems about right. Sarah Clayton Check discovered. Yeah, kind of figured someone would figure that out.
Yes. I mean, that's surely. Just surely. And what it leads to is one of the dumbest fucking justifications that even Arrow has ever put forth for lying. Like, all right, she's saying... How does that work? She ends up telling him that he was, like, a playboy, like an untrustworthy playboy before, and now that that's not true, doesn't change the fact that he is now dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, great, but that all changes with, like, you've got Felicity in your life now. None of that matters anymore. Like, you have to tell Felicity. That's the big thing we're trying to get at here. You have to tell Felicity. And then mm-hmm. all of the stuff with your kid and when how the baby mama feels about you at any given time is absolutely irrelevant. And on yeah. top of that, Felicity's way smarter than both of you combined. And we'll figure this out eventually, and you better get ahead of it.
Yeah, yeah. Felicity is smarter
than the room.
Anyone on the show.
Than the room. Yeah. I don't need to specify which room.
Which is weird that the writers decided to do this with her. Quentin trying to protect Donna lies to her to get her to go away for a minute.
Right.
She walks out crying, thinking and realizing Quentin's a liar because he's an idiot.
Right.
And Felicity says, what did you do? And he says, why do you think it's me who did something? And Felicity angrily says, because you're a man.
Right. Now, normally, it didn't feel like a very Felicity line.
It didn't feel like a very Felicity line. It also, like, you know, I wanted to kind of check myself against just a knee-jerk, you know, reaction against that sort of thing, being as I have a penis.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But I felt like my girlfriend and I were watching it at the same time, and she kind of goes, whoa, dude, that's not okay. And I was like, right?
We thought so much more highly of you. Come on.
She's like, that's not an okay thing to... Dude, women are jerks all the time. Like, that's not an okay thing to do.
Right.
Okay, good, good. It's not just me being, you know, overly protective of my own...
Defensive about just men in general or something. But
yeah, yeah. And it was. It was a really weird line. It was really weird. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Felicity feels like Oliver's keeping something from her. But hey, Felicity, you lead a double life. And you decided to marry a guy who leads a double life, who's been lying to people for years.
Mm-hmm. Who's taught other people how to live double lives. He's so good at it.
And before that, before he even learned how to live a double life, he was leading multiple lives.
Right.
Cheating on everything
with
he could
multiple
find.
Women. Like, you get the feeling that at some point, him and Tommy had bets on how many women he could successfully date at one time before it folded in on him. And probably like went through with it. Had a, you know, a bitch can't do more than five.
Bet I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go getting mad at Quentin Lance. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to get mad at Quentin Lance. Like, I don't know, going to a building by himself, even though he's the police captain.
Right. Because that's totally up to code.
Yeah.
That's how that
works.
That's
a good... Yeah, that's a reason to be annoyed with Quentin Lance. Not even mad at him.
Man,
come on, dude.
It was. It's a weird thing to, like, you're the highest ranking officer here, man. I mean, surely somebody else can go check out a mild disturbance in a building somewhere. But
it's like the building attacked me.
Right. You got super darked.
I'm like, Quentin, you've seen what that asshole can do. I don't know why you're surprised. What do you think is happening?
I don't know, man. I,
Laurel. No, that was the wrong thing to say. That was the wrong thing.
No, I'm not going to get on the Laurel train with him today. Like, he actually did a good job. Like, this is the most fun I've had with Quentin in a long time. This episode was I thought, pretty good for him.
It was pretty good for him. That's the perfect way to put it. It was pretty good for him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just keep drinking your coffee in the lair, buddy.
Right.
Just keep walking around, talking to Oliver. And really dig in with that guilt. Like, you're a different man there, Oliver. Sorry, Laurel. Oliver, you're a different man now. You're a good man. Yeah. Like, yep. And why does that no one ever notice, like, those looks of pain on Oliver's face or anyone else's face on these shows when they're keeping a secret to protect somebody, supposedly?
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, no, you learned not to lie. You did a good, you're a good man now. And they always see, like, oh, no, I'm not good. I'm bad. Just please stop telling me I'm good.
Yeah, that would make more sense if they ever learned from it. But what happens is,
right,
they'll say, like, oh, because you're a good man. And it's always us being set up for the person to go be a worse person than they deserve to be. And it'd be one thing if it was like a momentary lapse of character that we were displaying with his little shameful, you know, stare at your feet look, but that's mm-hmm. not. It's never what happens. Instead, it's some, oh God, it's just more lies, more and more lies.
Oh, you were not a fan of Danny Pudi being in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, correct?
Correct.
What did you think of him here?
What?
That was Danny Pudi playing the leader of the demolition team, right? With a nail gun?
Was it?
See, the fact that you're not sure proves my point. This woman looks exactly like Abed from Community.
Really?
It was so weird. I started calling her Nail Gun Nadir in my notes.
Yeah, that one never crossed my mind. Never did. You know what? The whole time I was watching them, though, I just kept thinking, demo team? Like, such a lame fucking...
They are. Why are they shooting people with nail guns? She
does not look like Abed.
Oh, I think she does.
Nah, way too fierce. Abed's a fragile creature.
I think Danny Pudi could pull it off.
No, he looks like he weighs about 75 pounds, man. I don't think he can pull off. Certain action sequences, I think, are outside of his physical frames.
Yeah.
Abilities. But
actually,
really
Scott says,
disappointed
Scott
with
says
team.
Fans, he says fans of Stargate Atlantis will recognize Nailgun Girl from this new bad guy team. Fans of Stargate Atlantis will also agree that her new hairstyle sucks.
Not familiar with the old hairstyle.
I'm not either. I was more of a Stargate SG-1 for about a season until I realized they were just, ripping off old Star Trek scripts. I went, okay.
Right. Oh, have you had a couple moments where you're watching Spartan and just kind of thinking to yourself, Diggle, that helmet's looking pretty beat up. Guess you should hop over to Central City sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. And he's coming to Central City this coming up week.
Yep.
And this episode, they actually had his, helmet get thrown off, and he, picked it up and looked at it like, you're not going to keep working.
this won't do. I have just, yeah, I mean, it, like, he did. He just basically is, slimmed down a motorcycle helmet and strapped it loosely to the front of his face. It's not going to be good enough. And I'm wondering if they really had that plan the whole time. We're going to give him a pretty temporary helmet, and then we'll get him over to the Cisco camp sometime now. Hook him up, and it'll be a great thing. Or if they just put it on, didn't think they'd ever have to think about it again, and people hated it so much that they decided to go ahead and do something clever. And this is a clever out to send him to Cisco. That's a cool thing to be able to do. But,
You know what's fun? One, Thea taking the role of Diggle. Don't tell Felicity.
Right.
Keeping William a secret is keeping him safe. Don't tell that bitch about William. Okay. Thanks, Thea Diggle. Okay. But here's
her
the
whole,
most interesting part.
Speech, except now it's not a lie. It's a promise. Oh, fuck you.
Uh-huh. Guess what else they did? They had Felicity telling her mom, maybe he's lying to protect you. Talking about Quentin.
Okay. I was okay with it in this one instance. Because what she wasn't trying to get her to be okay with the fact that she's being lied to. She was trying to get her to go talk with the guy for half a second and maybe see if that's what was going on. That moves the plot forward. Thea moved it back.
Oh, by the way, that's something Diggle is responsible for, and I think he did it last week. I think this is the second week in a row that he's mentioned digging around the dark web. Can we not use... Did you guys just do a YouTube search and realize the dark web was a thing? Did you freaking...
Someone just saw an article, wrote it, they all got fascinated by it, and decided to put it in. Yeah.
They discovered Tor. They got into the Onion router and went, oh!
Yeah.
Yep. Why are there so many hits being taken out on the Arrow Riders? Wait, we're the Arrow Riders.
That didn't work. Oh, by the way, the debate. I did like that the climax of this episode ended up being like, all right, guys, out of your street clothes, back in. We've got to go do a debate now that we've. I mean, he's just Arrow 20 minutes before kicking some guy's ass, and now he's got to hop on here and. Well, it's good that he has good cardio, because people would really be wondering why he was so fucking sweaty up there. But, all right, so Channel 52 News, just I'm so sick of that joke. But, you know something you've never seen and you'll never see probably in your lifetime is, any headline that even says even near this unqualifiedly, Queen wins mayoral debate. I think the only time that could possibly ever happen, the talking heads wouldn't spend a week rehashing every moment to decide who won for themselves rather than just declaring one. The opponent would literally have to stop in the middle of somebody's speech, say, you know what, you win, you're a better person than I, and leave, and maybe shoot themselves.
I was surprised by that as well.
It's just a a thing that doesn't really happen. It's just a bad thing.
Sometimes I do. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the writers for these shows sometimes are 14-year-olds who don't know anything about anything, like in the real world. They know comic books. But even then, like, you know, I know it would ostracize a bunch of people. I know it would alienate a bunch of your viewers. But you already do that by saying shit like, oh, you're a man. Yeah. So let's just move past that. And can we not just make Oliver the nut job liberal that he was in the comics?
Right.
Like, he was an extremist liberal. Like, no, why can't we see some of that debate?
No, he's like a really angry Bernie Sanders.
And yeah.
More angry Bernie Sanders.
He's angry, agile Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Bernie's life had taken a very different path.
And by the way, you know, the wife of the bad guy in your show is running against him. So, you know, you can just make her like a Donald Trump.
Yeah, easy.
So, you know, that's the easiest thing you could do. But it goes along with the source material. That's one of the things I'm sad about with spoilers for Legends of Tomorrow, that Hawkman is dead. Just because I that's one of the things I loved about the old Justice League comics was Hawkman and Ollie going at it. Like, Hawkman's like this really ridiculous conservative. Like, just so conservative, it's ridiculous. This right wing. Well, you could clearly see he's got two wings.
Right, right.
A left and a right. But, right. Sorry. But boom.
Pulls focus on
but,
that.
But, you know. I like the political stuff in comic books because I feel like that's a big part of like superheroes. Like, man, somebody's gonna have to like agree or disagree with these superheroes, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I loved about the Justice League cartoon is like they went ahead and dealt with the government having an issue. Like, General Eiling was totally Republican, by the way.
Right.
Was like had a problem with the Justice League floating above the Earth with a giant laser pointed at America.
Which is a very real concern.
It's a very real concern.
Oh, there's a bunch of demigods with the most powerful weapon on Earth, and they're not even in our jurisdiction. I feel like we should talk about that.
I'm not saying I want to get, like, so deep into it that's all we're talking about, but you know what? It would add a little spice and a little flavor, you know, a little, variety to the show, rather than just, he lied to protect you, I lied to protect you, they lied to protect you. Am I a monster because I want to kill people? Okay, those are the things that we talk about all the time on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
We can bring politics into it. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to get upset. I claim no party. I'm good here. Let's
do whatever
have fun.
You want. I'm pretty unattached to any of that material myself, so it doesn't really bother me.
This bothers me in as much as, like, you know, they have, like, a news... Like you said, like, they have a news outlet saying, like, oh, he won the debate pretty clearly. All the experts. Who are these experts? Who are these experts who agree that he won?
They didn't even say that it wasn't even experts agreed. The headline literally says, Oliver Queen wins mayoral debate, period.
But Thea says, all of the experts agree that you won the debate. Okay, who?
Yeah, they never exactly cited an example or something.
Was it like Rush Limbaugh and Rachel Maddow?
I mean, they could have at least stuck to they didn't even say experts agree Queen wins mayoral debate, which would all fit on the screen just fine, guys. So you could have done that instead,
right,
if you wanted to. But so now they made a bad choice with saying outright that he won because it's been declared, and then they referred to the experts later. Like, Thea could have at least just said the news said you won. Stick to their story.
Yeah.
The news said categorically that you won this bitch. Yay!
But you know what? I kind of wanted to see the debate. Isn't that sad? Like, I don't.
I would have. I'm not really. Wouldn't have minded a little bit of like they have. They've done a lot of stuff off screen. Like when he has to go be the mayor now and go do the be the mayor stuff. And his campaign has been something that's in the background, and we haven't really seen any of the meat of it. And I wouldn't have minded a couple of questions and then just fade off. You know. Fade back to your terrible news story. But
now, I understand they don't want to like take up the time on the show to have that, but what would have been cool
but he's
is,
running
like,
for mayor, and it's a huge portion of the show. It deserves a little bit of screen time.
Yeah, show a portion of it and then have Thea say, like, they have the entire debate up on YouTube or whatever, and then we can actually go and look it up and watch the entire debate.
Oh, that'd
as
be
if
awesome.
It happened in real life. That's what they should have done.
That would be
but
awesome.
My guess is they haven't gone into Ollie being too liberal or too conservative, either one. I mean, so my guess is, like, with any kind of, you know, candidacy run, you're going to have to get into some of that. And well, they the don't fun want part about anyone a, attributing anything to anyone.
The fun part about if you're writing for a candidacy run, you can just be all hope and dreams and never have to declare like where you're coming from. Because the same two politicians with two completely different ideas of how to go about doing something can sit there and say, I want to make the world a better place. And everyone cheers. Or everyone that thinks they agree with them cheers.
Right.
Everyone who hasn't yet felt betrayed by the person cheers. They can easily pop in a couple of moments of him just being a hopeful person, but at least showing that he has the demeanor necessary to carry like a campaign on his back. Give me a couple of minutes. And even if you want to do, you know, real politics, it can still be city level politics. He's running for mayor. He's not running for like he doesn't have to have an opinion on any of the major things, you know? Like, they're not going to ask him about stuff that's really going to piss somebody off. Like, he's not getting like stem cell research, abortion questions or some shit. You can give him what are we going to do about a railway line? Well, I've never mentioned a railway line before, but we can assume there's one out there for the purpose of this question and him, have him say something very hopeful about the amount of jobs that he intends to. But yeah,
right.
It's such a safe place to play. It's just one city.
I think pretty much where they really hit it in the comics were one, economics, and you know, two, like welfare stuff. Like they kind of like kept it around there. I don't think they went into abortion in the comics or anything, but I don't remember that.
I don't remember that one coming up ever, actually. I'm sure I'm wrong about that, but I don't remember that ever being in the book. And
it probably was, and it was probably Neil Adams, but you know, probably, whatever.
Part of the Journeyman run or something.
According to him,
he probably like, yeah. And you know, something that it's safe to do, like somebody like Oliver Queen, if you do him as the Green Arrow, can all day he can come in and pull one percenter bashing out of his ass, and he's not going to lose any viewers. Like, I'll be honest, man, the 1% doesn't spend a lot of time watching Arrow. You can bash them all on. They don't fucking care.
Yeah. You know, the most interesting thing they could do, I think, is to have Diggle take up the conservative bit. You know, former military. I think that would work. Yeah. I think that could be really interesting.
You want like a paraphrased version of your Hawkman VA arguments?
Sure.
That'll work.
That's exactly what I want.
That's fine.
That
would
be a lot of fun. They'll never do it.
No.
But, okay, I'm going to whip through a couple of bits real quick, and then we're going to come to the thing that I know you want to talk about. Annoying neighbor is not annoying still. Thank you for letting us know that she's still around and I guess
annoying.
Interested in Ollie's mayoral campaign.
Right.
Whatever. One of the stuntmen, like the stuntman that was Coughlin when he's fighting Conklin and the whatever his name is in the island sequences, I'm pretty sure that dude was one of the demolition men. Like in all the scenes.
Yeah. You think they just doubled up
I couldn't find proof of it, absolutely. But I'm pretty sure.
Thought you recognized the back of that beard or something?
I mean, he's a bearded dude.
Yeah. Oh, it could very easily be. Very easily be the case. All right. I mean, by the way, thank God Conklin's out of the way.
Yes,
I liked his last line. Like, what did he say when he was dying?
Ryder's going to kill everyone anyway.
Right. Okay.
Everybody anyway, something like that.
You let him go out with something interesting at least. And they're finally doing something.
I'm so sick of that bastard.
Of Ryder or Conklin?
Both.
Yeah.
But mainly Conklin.
Well, Ryder, remind me here, because I know I've forgotten this. They finally kind of got something going on the island, and now I'm blanking on what it was. But they finally kind of gave us a little bit of depth about what he was up to. There was something around the middle of the episode.
Ryder told him that he started talking all this nonsense about the trend of Providence, and that Ollie's been granted passage by the gods. It has been proven to him over and over again.
That was it. That he's some divine creature that he needs to harness.
I cannot be less interested in this island. Actually, I could be. Last year's whatever Chinese trip or whatever it was
less interesting than this.
That was less interesting than this. Yeah,
like this one at least
here we get mentions of John Constantine.
Right. You get to see people you love at least. This one they just kind of I almost feel bad for the island because it has not had enough time to do anything. They're spending so much time on present day that they haven't really, you know, back in like season one, it was really God, it felt like 30% of the screen time some episodes was Island. And it felt like way more in some episodes. Like, the Island was the most interesting part in a lot of ways. And now it's reduced to an afterthought, which is kind of where it deserves kind to of be is, presently. Yeah.
Well,
there's nothing happening.
Here's the thing,
yet.
Like, I actually wrote, like, the first Island sequence I wrote, weirdly, The Island, 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
That's pretty, I mean, whatever. It's not a big deal. I'm not that interested anyway.
I feel like I will be when they finally get around to doing something with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will. I mean, Ryder showed up in the present timeline long enough to off Waller, essentially. So,
yeah.
one more big thing to mention. Obviously, William is with Damian Dark. He's playing with Damian Dark's kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that mean that Sarah Clayton, or whatever her name was, Sam Clayton, is dead?
Maybe, but not necessarily.
Yeah. So,
like,
big
Dark's the kind of guy who would take the mom, because the mom can't be fooled into thinking that the situation's okay, can, like, take the mom and imprison her, and then trick the kid into thinking, like, it's just, you know, mommy's just away, and she told me to take care of you, and all, you know, but he could do that, and then enjoy being extra menacing because the kid's just out in the open hanging out, and aren't they all cool? Mm-hmm. That's fine. She's not necessarily gone, though, by any stretch.
Yeah. So, big WTF of the episode, Curtis can just build a microchip that goes into a person's spine and fixes them?
Yep. I mean, there were a couple of cute things in the scene. Like, Stephen Amell's acting in that scene was phenomenal. That little shake of the head he did when he heard that just was, on point. That was phenomenal. Felicity, as always, great job. Emily Bett Rickards, again, just great job. I feel for, I mean, I'm confused by this scene, and I'm still so happy for her, because that's what she makes me feel. But you can't just cure crippledom as an afterthought in the back end of a show. Like,
well, if they do, it's Curtis Holt. We don't have a Curtis Holt in this world. They do.
Yeah. So that's fine. I mean, look.
If they actually start bringing it in and say, like, we've mass marketed this thing and made it affordable for people
learning,
because we're good people.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he can do it.
Well, I mean, you know, if they actually do from this point on start talking about, like, people who are crippled are going to be able to have this thing and it's going to be pretty affordable and blah, 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 because, I mean, look, man, we're over in, you know, spoilers for Legends, but over in Legends, you know, when they go to the future, it's not Palmer Industries, it's Smoke Industries.
Right.
I'm guessing curing crippled folk is probably gonna be that's a deal maker, man.
It's gotta be.
You're gonna become,
because look, the major the leading mayoral candidate is getting married soon.
Mm-hmm.
The press will be there. They will probably notice if Felicity manages to walk down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably be recognized at her next, you know, giant board meeting if she strolls into the room. Like, this isn't something it can do on the DL at all. So they have to be ready to play with it. Like, it's out there now. This is an Act 2 gun. It's out there. Do something. But it was such a weird way to introduce that. It's like, oh yeah, he's been working.
Now, am I just wrong here, or is there actually how does that connect with him having a Felicity screensaver?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on with his screensaver or what he was doing with it. I mean, it was a funny scene because he made it funny. And it's really pretty clear that he's working on this when she walks in on him. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with the screensaver.
He made it seem like it was part of the gift, and then it wasn't.
I mean, I guess he was just trying to keep her from looking at his research.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because maybe.
So next week, Felicity learns who William is.
Yeah. Yeah. Digging right into that.
Yeah. I want to know how actors get that, like, vein in their forehead to come out. Because Amell's really good at it. Like, when he looks stressed or whatever, he's like, he's my son. And, like, the vein is coming up out of his forehead.
You see the blood pressure rise?
Yeah. Like, Quentin does it, too. He's just like, my pills.
Yeah.
Law. And, like, that veins pop out. I'm like, dude, how do you do that?
Yeah, maybe it's a breath exercise or something.
I've tried to figure out how to do it, but
please don't try too hard.
I just passed out.
Yeah, I don't want to get news from your parents one day. He died trying to act. Coronary thrombosis. Never had a check. Trying to make a vein pop out of his head.
Well, more likely they would get word from you, but No one should go to maladjusted.tv and see what that's about.
Right.
Because we don't act. Anyway.
No.
I think that's going to...
Oh, he did.
That's going to do it for me.
The one thing out of the whole scene that was irreplaceably wonderful was, Curtis, you're terrific.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
It did. That gave me a giant, big old sack of the joys.
The joys?
The joys. Big heaping spoonful of happies.
None of that sounds okay. I don't know why.
It's all very good. It's all very good, my friend.
Just the way you're putting it. Something just sticking in my craw. Doesn't sit right. I don't know. That's going to do it for DC on screen.
Perfect.
You can find every episode of DC on screen at DCOnScreen.com. That's kind of fun. And iTunes and Stitcher. Also, Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Matt Carroll, Jeff Randall, our buddies, good friends of ours. Go check them out, MCUcast.com. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Oh my lord, can I come up with something else to pimp? yes, I can.
Probably.
Next episode, Legends of Tomorrow. Is it 105? This is actually 105, right?
Yes. This was the 105 you were trying to refer to earlier.
Alrighty. So we're going to be talking about Legends of Tomorrow 105, Failsafe. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.